Please turn in your Bible back to 1 Chronicles 22 and to verse 5. 1 Chronicles 22, verse 5. These famous words of King David. So David prepared abundantly before his death. The news this week has been filled with tragedy, the tragedy of death. We've had a school principal met a very tragic end under serious, suspicious circumstances. And it seems that every day in British Columbia, there are victims on our roads of auto injuries and deaths from many, many accident scenes. And then that which saddens the heart of every Canadian is the news of our young soldiers that are killed all too frequently half a world away over in Afghanistan. And it seems that weekly that their bodies are coming home in caskets to be mourned over and grieved over by their loved ones and by their families. It is a reality that in life we have to face the issues of death. But how can we define death? How can we even begin to describe what death is? I suppose we could become philosophical about it. We could become theological about it and try and define it in great descriptions. But there's one word that really sums it up. Death is separation. It is immediate separation from family, loved ones in this world. And when death takes over these bodies of ours, those whom we have known, we know no more, and they know us no more, as they have known us. And the places that have known us no more. So death is separation. It is also separation from soul and body. The moment that breath leaves the body, the soul leaves the body, and it goes into eternity. There is also, for the wicked, separation from God. Our Lord Jesus explained that the ungodly would be told, "Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. I never knew you." And so, separation is one word that sums up the consequences of death. The thing that we must learn, and I think we can learn it here from David, is that death requires our preparation. We are told here in our text that David prepared abundantly before his death. Now, the context of that was concerning the building of the temple. The desire was in his heart to build a magnificent temple to the glory of God. But God said to David, "No, I'm not going to have you do that, but I'm going to have your son do that." And so David was permitted to gather many of the materials and do some of the pre-organization of it. And so in that sense, David prepared abundantly before his death. But who can argue with this statement? And yet there is this natural reluctance to face the issue and to really prepare for the day when the breath will leave our body and our soul will go out into eternity. There are many that even resent the mention of the subject of death, and especially when you make it personal to them and you ask them, "Have you made real preparation about the day of your death?" And they consider, but that's so doleful, that's so such a sad thing to consider. But don't you realize that it is the thing that you must consider and that you need to address immediately? And even though it is the thing that you are reluctant to consider, it is all the more needful. And so I want to take these words concerning David that he prepared abundantly before his death, and I want you in the next half hour to do some real thinking about the day of your death. And I want you to realize that preparation for the day of your death is necessary because it is inevitable. The day of your death is inevitable. When King David prepared for his death, he knew that his time in this world was short. This was the 40th year of his reign on the throne, which was his last year. David was a prophet. I don't know how much God had revealed to him about the actual time of his death, but he knew that his days were very short. And we can be sure that death is inevitable for all, rich and poor, young and old. We may try to avoid it. We may try to run from this thing called death, but it is invincible, and it shall cut us down. We need to realize that death can happen at any time without warning. There is story after story that can be recited of younger or older who started their day but never finished it. They got up in the morning, they dressed, they had their normal kind of breakfast, they went out the door with their normal farewell, with every intention of having a normal day, but never completed that day. And life was taken from them. I've mentioned our soldiers over in Afghanistan. Can you imagine what it's like for a young soldier, probably in his 20s or early 30s, driving along the hillsides of Afghanistan in a Humvee? They're a kind of a wannabe tank. They're not really the real protection from the kind of roadside bombs that they're facing in the terrorist attacks that are being made by the Taliban over there. And it seems that these vehicles are just turned into shrapnel and wreckage and carnage. And there's not a second warning, and they're blasted into eternity. Life cut off in a second. And if I know young men and if I know young soldiers, many of them think that they're invincible. Many of them think it'll never happen to me. And they go through their routine of training and preparing and soldiering, and they go through their day of soldiers' activities, thinking this will not happen to me. Same thing happens on our roads. Tragic accident after accident. And people are taken away in a heartbeat. I heard the news this week of a man who had wedding plans to be married, cut off in a motorcycle accident. And with the force of the impact, his heart was compressed so forcibly, there wasn't a second of consciousness for him to be aware of what was happening. Death can give you absolutely no time whatsoever. And then, of course, there are none that escape the sentence of death. Your DNA, that is the genetic programming within your body, has within it the timing, the degenerating factors that pronounce death in your body. And as the saying goes, death and taxes are two certainties in life. And just as you pay taxes in this society every day you live, death is there stalking too. And you cannot escape. And while it's true that God has appointed 70 years, 70 years, as the average mean of life, and that's not far off in most cases, yet that does not guarantee that anyone will see 70 years of age. And God's appointed 70 years have not been bettered by health and science, for by a little eking and tweaking here and there. And therefore, for all these reasons, which are from our everyday life issues, it's absolutely critical that you prepare for the day of your death. Absolutely critical. And what David did was wise. It was wise as one who wanted to leave behind a testimony that he was a man for God. And if you would be wise, and if you would live with God, if you would be right with God, it is absolutely necessary that you face the inevitable and prepare for the day of your death. It's also necessary because it's possible to be delivered from the power of death. That's the good news that we have. This is not just a fate that will catch up upon you and there's not a thing that you can do. If there was no hope and there was no remedy concerning the power of death, then we would say, well, let's be quiet. Let's not trouble people about such a doleful subject. Let's just let them enjoy every day, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow they die, and there's nothing we can do. But wonderfully, there is a provision for the terrors of death. There is hope, and there is deliverance. That's the good news of the gospel that we have. That is the wonderful story that we have as Christians, as Bible believers, as we come together to tell the gospel. It's good news that the Lord Jesus has come into the world to bring eternal life. And preparation for death is possible, firstly, through revelation. And I want to explain what I mean by revelation. God wants you to know the way of deliverance. And by that revelation, He has given us His Word. If you have your Bible, please turn to John chapter 17, verse 3. Here is, I believe, a key text that sets out what God wants you to know to set you free from the way of death. Will you read this with me? John 17, verse 3. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Now there you have all the components that are necessary here. Life eternal. This is the provision, this is the answer to the terrors of death. And what God wants you to know is firstly to know Him. To know Him. And then to know Him through His Son and Jesus Christ, whom He has sent. God does not want to leave you in the dark that you might walk headlong on to death. God wants you to know Him. God wants you to know His Son. God wants you to know the plan of eternal life through His Son. Now turn with me to 1 John 5:13. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life. God wants you to know that ye have eternal life. That's revelation. He wants you to know. He doesn't want you to go on in the darkness and the way of destruction and death. This is the good news of the gospel. And that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Now I want you to go back to the beginning of verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. That's the scripture, the word of God. These things have I written. The Bible is given to you that you may know. Here's provision for death. Here's provision for escape from death. Here's the way of life, that you might know the Father and know the way through the Son. And so you're not left to the follies of human reason. That way of human reason will only lead you to darkness and death. Go to the life-giving words of the Lord Jesus. Go to the life-giver. And if you reject the revelation of the scriptures and trust in your own reason, you'll be lost in the labyrinth of sin. You'll be in a maze that you can never find your way out. And your only hope today is the light of God's word. That's why we're sent to preach the gospel. That's why men need to know, or they'll perish. They'll perish. And that's why you need to prepare. If you say, forget about it. I don't need to prepare. I don't need to think about these things. My friend, God has sent us to make you think. God has given us this word that ye might know. Also, preparation for death is possible through redemption. Through the death, the cross work of the Lord Jesus. Now, David made abundant preparation for building the temple. He got all the wood together. He got all the nails together. He got the gold and the workmen together. He did a lot of the preparing for that temple. The Lord Jesus has prepared and prepared by the work of his cross. Now, if you could turn with me to John 10 and verse 10, you'll find that it is through the death of the Lord Jesus, this good shepherd, that he has prepared abundantly for us. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I'm come that they are made of life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Now, I'm taking this text because you have here the word abundantly again. David prepared abundantly for the temple. All the necessary wood, all the necessary stonework, and the nails, and the workmen to assemble and put this building together. The Lord Jesus has prepared abundantly. Now, what is that abundantly? Life. Abundant life. And by the death of our Lord Jesus, the Good Shepherd, by his death, by his sacrifice on the cross, by his atoning work on that tree, our Lord Jesus has prepared abundantly. He has provided everything required that you might escape death. He has answered all the accusations of the law. He has satisfied God's wrath to make you at peace with God, that there would be no terrors of death or law upon you. that you would be set free. And so Paul could say in 1 Corinthians 15, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? So for the person who has accepted the Lord Jesus as their Savior, death has lost its power. Now think about that word sting for a while. The Greek word sting in 1 Corinthians 15 is the same word as the sting of a scorpion. Has anyone here ever been stung by a scorpion? In this part of the world, Mr. Jones has. We'll have to get you to tell us about that sometime. I probably don't need to ask you, was it painful? That is the thing about the sting of a scorpion. It is exceeding painful. Now, I heard of someone, or I read of someone, who was stung by a scorpion in Texas. And he insists that the scorpions in Texas are not nearly as powerful as the scorpions in the Middle East. I don't know. Here in British Columbia, you probably even ask, has anyone ever seen a scorpion? But the sting of a scorpion is exceeding painful. And when you are stung by a scorpion, you never want to ever have that again. You want to avoid that like the plague. And it is natural that every one of us want to avoid death, because there's terror in it, there's fear in it, there is darkness in it, there is all the curse in it of rebellious, sinful man who's out of tune with God. And indeed, for the unsaved, there's hell in it. Death to the unbeliever is a painful, smarting, horrible thought and reality in the end. But Paul said, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? In other words, through Christ, through the cross, through his death, the death of the good shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep, there is no more sting of death for believers in the Lord Jesus. The sting is gone. The victory of death is over. There is no more terror, no more fear. Death to the Christian can be welcomed. Death for the Christian is something that is no longer the gateway to terror, but is the gateway to glory. And so preparation can be made through the redemption and the work of the Lord Jesus. In 1 Peter 2 and 24, here's a verse I think will sum up what we're saying here. 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. There is the sting of death is gone, the victory of the grave is gone, and there is the healing power of the work of the Lord Jesus. And the psalmist could say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and staff, they comfort me. Now that's the hope of the Christian. And the preparation that you are to make is to make sure you are a believer in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Make sure that his blood has cancelled out the power of sin. Make sure that the sting of death is gone as far as you're concerned. Make sure that his death is applied to your life. And you're a believer in the cross work of Calvary. That you're a believer in the finished work of the cross. And thereby, death has no more claim upon you. O death, Where is thy sting, O grave? Where is thy victory? And in Romans 8, the final verse or two, Paul said, I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. Let me tell you, death to the Christian does not in any way lessen the love of God. Does not separate us from the love of God. Even on our deathbed, and this evening I hope to deal with some of the issues of bereavement and the hard questions that many Christians face when a loved one is taken away. When death visits a Christian home, there is no diminishing of the love of God to that home or to believers in that home. There is no diminishing because nothing can separate us from it. And death is called sleep in Jesus. We'll have a look at that this evening as well. This is a subject that got so big for me that I realized I could never preach it all in one meeting. And I want to look at the other aspect of it this evening. The bereavement. What should a Christian's response be when your nearest and dearest has been taken away? How do we respond to that? And that is a necessary thing. But here, preparation for your own death. When Christ has conquered death, when He has risen victorious over the grave, to not prepare, to not do anything about the salvation of your own soul. Oh, how necessary you must see to that preparation. It's necessary also because it is something that's commanded. The preparation of your day of your death is commanded by God. In the Bible, we have different kinds of exhortations. We have invitations, promises, warnings, and then commands. Now, in the Gospel, you have all four of these. God starts off very softly with invitations, and He gives you glorious promises to encourage you to take up those invitations. And then God comes with warnings, as He did through Noah, preaching the judgment of God. And then God comes with commands. You're commanded to believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You're commanded to repent, or ye shall all likewise perish. And this is not optional. This is a command. And it's the command of a king. It comes with all authority. And you are commanded to prepare for the day of your death. There is no other way by which God determines men's fate. Believe on the Lord Jesus, and thou shalt be saved. And if you disobey that command, if you thumb your nose at God's command, then there is further judgment. Greater weight of judgment. And double the consequences of sin. And so heed God's command. Also, there are great rewards for preparing. There are great rewards. Just like David, when he prepared abundantly, he was rewarded, but then he soon died, and the rewards passed on to his son, and Solomon's reign was the most glorious reign in the history of Israel. And what God put in David's heart became a great blessing for days to come. And we have to say that for the person who prepares for the day of their death and becomes a Christian and trusts in the Lord for salvation, there is great reward. The Apostle Paul stated it very clearly this way. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain, is gain. And to be a believer, death is great gain, great reward. A saint can tell what his losses for Christ are, but he cannot tell how great his gains are at death. Believers at death shall escape all their sins and troubles and enter into a state of sinlessness. What reward that will be. Believers at death shall gain a glorious sight of God and of the Savior himself. They'll enter into his house, into his praises. They'll dwell amongst his angels. They will worship at his throne. And we could multiply the benefits and the blessings. And how come do the saints have all this gain? Because they have prepared for death. They have trusted in the Lord Jesus, who himself, by his death on the cross, made abundant, superabundant provision. Oh, be wise today and be saved. Follow this example of David. Prepare for the day of your death. It is inevitable. It may be imminent. It may be sooner than anyone here dare think. And you must know the riches, the benefits that are in the Lord Jesus. Make sure that you trust God's way of salvation. I read of a man in an apartment building fire in the city of New York. When the fire broke out, he ran to the door. He opened it, slammed the door behind him, only to discover that he was in a clothes closet. And there he was stuck, with no handle on the inside of the door, and the fire raging inside the building. But other tenants in the building smelled the smoke, raised the alarm, and the fire service came, put out the fire, and of course did release him from that closet. What a fool he felt. But there are many people who make no preparation for death. And with what little opportunity they may have in the throes of some emergency, they run to any door. And they think they're going to be safe. But I have to tell you today that Jesus says, I am the door. There's only one door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And shall go in and out and find pasture. There's no other way to be saved. No other door that will lead you to eternal life. I wonder what escape door you have in mind today. Maybe you're trusting in a door of your riches. What will a dollar mean on the day of your death? What would $1 million mean in the day of your death? You can't take it with you. Maybe you have the door of good works. Maybe you are a kind, gentle person. Maybe you have around you any number of friends who can testify that you are one of the most helpful, kindest, gentlest persons. But you don't have a Savior. And you don't have a hope for eternal life. And salvation is not by works. And if you can save yourself without the Lord Jesus, why did he go to the cross? Why did he offer himself abundantly on that cross? What do you have that will remove the sting of death, the curse of the law, the wrath of God, for which the very flames of hell await those that are not saved? My friend, it is wisdom that you prepare for the day of your death. and you prepare now. For now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Think of the peace that a Christian has. Think of the hope that a Christian has. There was a young soldier on the battlefield who was mutilated. The surgeon announced to him that he had to amputate. But he said, "You've only got one chance out of 100 that you will survive. But I must." And the young Scottish soldier said, "Doctor, just get on with it." He did come through the surgery. And later on he was asked what he thought as he handed himself into the hands of the surgeon. He said, "I knew I was all right. I knew whichever side I came out, there would be a welcome for me. If I came back, Mother was there. And if I went on, the Lord Jesus was there." That's the certain hope that a Christian has. That's the eternal life that is promised, where the Lord says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish." This sermon is for you today if you're not saved. If you came to this church service today and you had no thought of God or eternity, this sermon was for you. I don't know how long you have in this world, but this sermon was for you. And I plead with you that you get right with God today through this word, this book that God has given, and through the cross work where the Lord Jesus died for sinners. And He will save you. And He'll save you now. If I can further help, I'll be glad to speak with you and show you the way of salvation. Be delighted to do that. May the Lord be gracious to work and wonderfully, preciously save your soul today.